Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
To equal the low round of the championship, Mickelson. And Phil Mickelson with a Sunday to remember at the Open Championship. Look how emotional Jim McKay's caddy is, too.
Bones McKay going into the Caddy Hall of Fame. He's going to join us in just a second here. One of the greats of all time. I mean, far and away. And he just can't get enough of walking on a golf course, and now he's doing a great job for the Golf Channel and NBC. You know, Jim, you could go out and just walk the neighborhood. You don't have to just walk on golf courses. You know that, right?
You're right. I just like that green grass, I guess.
It is a pleasure to talk to you. We have a mutual friend, Dr. Kevin Most, our medical director. Owns condos in Pinehurst, and the last time the Open was at Pinehurst, you and Joe LaCava stayed at one of his places, and he's a big proponent of the Evans Scholarships for the beneficiaries of the BMW this week, just played in the event on Monday, and he's an Evans Scholar himself that helped him become a doctor. But anyway, Kev says hi.
That's great. Thank you very much.
So as we progress through this and head towards your big night, Caddy Hall of Fame. Not a bad way to make a living, and a sweet honor that is well deserved.
No, I'm incredibly flattered. It's very, very nice of them to think of me in that respect. And caddying's been the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And with what the Western Golf Association does, you know, through the Evans Scholarships and supporting caddying around the country, whether it's on the tour or at a country club, I think they're just amazing at what they do.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of kids able to go to college when they otherwise wouldn't have been able to without taking on a mountain of debt. And in some cases, not at all, because they got the first job, the great job, and got behind it and learned from it. And Bones, you could speak to this. When you're a kid and you caddy, you see grown-ups acting like grown-ups that aren't necessarily going to treat you like their little snowflake child, so you're going to get the real-world view. You're going to get exposed to the honor of the game. I can't think of a better first job.
I could not agree with you more. I think it's the single greatest job a young man or woman could have. I was lucky enough to play golf at Chicago Golf Club last summer, and we had three young lady caddies in the group from Marquette University. And what they brought to the day and just the whole experience, you couldn't put a price tag on it. I think it's the greatest job a young person can have.
As you go into the Caddy Hall of Fame, it might sound like a stupid question, but is it a plaque? Is it a – I mean, I hope they don't give you a golf bag.
I don't know if it's a bronze divot or what is it?
A rake. I mean, it's a rake. They give you a bunker rake.
Yeah.
Do you miss Phil's bag? Do you miss being out there every day? I mean, I know it was time for you and Phil to go your separate ways, and that's all well and good, but you think you'll go and do it again?
I don't think so. At this point, NBC's been just incredibly kind to me, and I've had an absolute blast with them and their team, and I'm still out there with the guys, and while you're not in the game, so to speak, in terms of the juice running through you that you would have with your player every day on Thursday when the tournament would get going, I just love watching golf played at a really high level. And by the way,
you're really good. And I don't say that with great surprise in my voice because I know how much talking, especially you and Phil, have done through the year. So I know what a golf savant you are. But I'm really, really pleasantly I'm just pleased. I'm just pleased at how good you are at the job.
I appreciate it. I'm trying as hard as I can. I got a lot to learn, and the guys have been great, and I'm trying not to freak out too much when they talk in your ear when you're talking and all that stuff. But it's I'm trying to get there. But I appreciate that. Thanks.
I was wondering what the toughest adjustment would be for you because you are reporting on guys that you have certainly come into contact with, been on golf courses with, been in tournaments
alongside, friends,
acquaintances. What that part of it has been like?
Yeah, it's. I want to first and foremost do the job as properly and as truthfully as I can. But yeah, it's the great thing about golfers is that they're always pretty honest if something happens to go wrong or they hit a poor shot. So I don't plan on rubbing anybody the wrong way. I'm just going to report on what I see and just enjoy being with the guys. And it's kind of funny because at the Open one day, the weather got really, really bad, and a couple of guys, you know, came over to me and were talking about how tough it was to caddy and the really cold and the rain. And, you know, realizing that I wasn't having to do what they did, I was like, man, you got to be kidding me. I hope it snows out here today. You know, this is awesome.
Hey, Jim, what's the best advice you ever gave, but they never took? And you never let them forget, be it Phil or
Curtis, that's a great
or
question.
Anybody that you
Yeah, that's a great
for.
Question. Larry Mai, Scott Simpson, yeah. Curtis Strange, any of them.
Oh, wow.
I love that question.
I did work for a pro once who shall remain unnamed, I'd have to say. We hit a shot into a hazard against there was some rocks around, and he wanted to try and play the ball out of the hazard. And I said to him at the time, I said, if you try and play this out of there, this ball could hit a rock and come up and hit you right in the head. And he kind of scoffed at that and hit the shot, and it came up and hit him right in the forehead. And kind of, so I got that was one of those ones I got right that I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, but that's one of those where you don't go, I told you so. You right. just keep walking, right?
Exactly. If you want your job next week, you just keep walking, yeah.
Well, listen, you've made a lot of money, and you deserve it. I know you get questions all the time from people about the basics of caddying, but when you get stopped in airports or wherever by golf nuts or not, what's the one thing they want to know? Because they go, how heavy is the bag? You know, what's your favorite round that you caddied for? What do they ask you?
Well, certainly they like, you know, working for Phil, they had questions about shots that he hit, like the famous shot he hit out from behind the trees at Augusta.
Yep.
For years, you know, people were asking what, you know, questions about Tiger, which I totally understood because, you know, we were all and still are fascinated by the guy. And now I'd say it's you get a lot of questions about, you know, these kids, if you will. I hate to use that word. I shouldn't. But, you know, how can these guys like Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth be as great and as borderline dominant as they are at such a young age? Because that kind of thing didn't really happen until Tiger came around.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, you know, I think golf's in a really, really good place now. And as the folks will see that come out to the tournament this week, these young guys are something to behold.
What about the, you know, you mentioned the shot at Augusta. And if you're a golf nut like I am, you remember it well because, you know, Phil did a Phil. He and Bones talked for a while and he put a shot on, was it 13 or 15?
13, yeah.
Yeah, on 13. He put a shot from the pine straw onto this green. It's a really, you know, you can take a shot for four and turn it into a seven with one, you know, mistake. And it was a high risk, low reward type of situation, but he nailed it. But of all the shots you saw Phil hit all the way through, your favorite shot you ever saw him hit?
Well, I would say that he hit the two best shots of his life consecutively. You played the little intro as we were coming back from commercial about his win at the Open Championship in 2013. And on the 17th hole that day, he on this par five straight into the wind, he knocked it on the green in two with 2-3 woods. And guys weren't getting to that hole hitting driver off the tee.
Right.
And I just couldn't – when he hit the tee shot, I was blown away. I thought to myself, well, he could hit 1,000 balls from that point and not hit one as far as he just did here in the tournament. And then he stepped up to the second shot and did the same thing again off the ground with a 3-wood from something like 304, 282 and 24, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, me too.
And I remember thinking to myself, I remember after the fact thinking, these guys that play the best golf of their lives on the biggest stage that they'll ever play on, I'm always blown away that they're able to do that.
You got a pick for the weekend at the BMW? You got somebody you love?
Well, I hate to say it again because I picked him at the Open, but Jordan's a great pick this week because it's not a bomber's golf course.
Yep.
And, you know, when it's not a bomber's golf course, that's right up his alley, and he's got to be a little bit peeved that he didn't win either of the last 2 weeks in the FedEx Cup playoffs. You know, both times he had a chance to win and didn't. So I think he's coming in this week with a chip on his shoulder, so I like Jordan.
And Andrea said Andrea's a really good golfer here, but she said she'd gladly caddy for you.
Anytime. Anytime.
Well, I hope she's got a lot of bug spray and she's, you know, if there's poison ivy involved and all that. I'm not a very good player.
I'm going to bring my Segway and just kind of carry the bag that way.
Bones is better than he claims. Listen, thanks for all the entertainment. Congratulations on this great honor. Caddy Hall of Fame member. That's got to sound good to you. And keep up the great work on NBC Sports and the Golf Channel.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Now tell Doc you said hello.
Thank you.
9:52, back with Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN.